Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Toffee TV. Before I start, I can hear myself.
Okay. They've only now...
I'm going to hear myself twice. Oh, it's come back.
It's all right, just keep talking.
Okay. That's a better way to do it for now. Good evening, John.
Hello.
Good evening. I was just looking there. What's this? Nottingham Forest could be without three big players for this weekend.
How tall are they?
That's what I'm hoping it's Chris Wood, Morgan Gibbs-White, but it won't be. It'll be three players who've been injured all season, I imagine. Awoni, I can never say his name, mate.
That's the big guy.
But he's out anyway. He's been played anyway. Alanga. That'd be interesting because he's fast, and Willie Bowley has been playing anyway. Okay, it wasn't what I was hoping. I wanted to see Morgan Gibbs-White out. But there you go. There you go. Sunday, big game. We're heading into a huge week, aren't we, of three home games in 8 days currently. Could change tonight. Is it if City win, is it the Brentford game gets moved? Is that right?
Oh, is it?
Sure, that's right, isn't it?
Why?
So because of they would, I don't know, whenever they're playing, the date.
No, this UEFA thing, can't have games when their games are on because their games are more important. So that's sort of
I have no idea. I just know the Brentford game will go from the Saturday. Is it the Saturday till the Sunday?
Yeah. It's currently Saturday. Yeah. Oh, it'll only move one day.
So it'll move to the next day.
Okay.
But regardless of that...
I'd rather have a Sunday than a 5:30 kickoff on a Saturday night.
Okay. But regardless of that, John, it's a massive week, isn't it? Three home games. Everton could do with at least 6 points from those three home games. Those two home games.
5 to 7 points would be okay, wouldn't it? 9 would be great.
9 would be amazing.
Can you imagine if we beat Forest and then we beat the other shower? And then lose to Brentford. Yeah, that's what we'd do.
I don't want to imagine that. I don't want to imagine that. But 6 points will put us in a really...
Oh, banking three this weekend would be a massive start to a very important... What would it be then? 5 days? 6 days, wouldn't it? Yeah, because we play two more times in the next 6 days.
Yeah. So
unless it moves and then we get a bit longer rest, I suppose. Mm. But a day.
Where are you with... the fan stuff, as in, I said, I don't know whether you'd agree, disagree, whatever, but on Monday...
Whatever your view is, I'm going to disagree.
That's good, because that'll make it more entertaining. Monday after the Chelsea game, I just said, I feel as though it's going to come down to the fans again. I don't put any stock with the manager or the players in terms of being able to get extra stuff out of what they're doing. It seems like they're just repeating whatever they do each week. And I'm just wondering if we're at a situation where, almost like we were when Lampard was the manager, where we got to those last few home games, and let's be honest, You know, as much as I like Frank, I think it was the crowd that pulled Everton through rather than anything Frank Lampard did. Extra, I mean, above setting the team on with a plan or whatever. Are we at that stage, do you think? We've got what, 4 home games left? But 3 against teams who are all around us. And let's be honest, we need to win all 3, probably.
Well, to me, the perversity of it is, if you said at the beginning of the season, right, we want to avoid going this deep into the season with relegation still hanging over us. Mm-hmm. However, 3 of your last 4 home games, or 3, be against teams in the bottom 3 or 4.
Mm.
Are you going to take that? You go, yes, please.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it becomes binary, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know, we beat Forest and we go, that's great because that's 6-pointer we've won.
Mm. Yeah.
You lose to Forest, that's a 6-pointer we lost.
Yeah.
And it all gets a bit binary, doesn't it? Like, it literally is win-lose. But we also know that footballers perform better when there's an atmosphere, particularly if the atmosphere is on their side.
Mm.
I mean, clearly, Bayern Munich showed what you can do with none of your fans in a stadium.
Mm. Yeah.
Be interesting to see how they do tonight with their fans in the stadium, sort of the other way round, right? But we, over the years, particularly since the emergence of the 1878s, who do great orchestration and so on and so forth, we will turn up until the moment when the game starts. And where we as fans have perhaps dropped off a bit is when the players don't, if you like, add to the atmosphere through their style of play because the manager set them out in a certain way or whatever. So I think there needs to be some form of recognition of that if you're going to keep the momentum from a well-orchestrated fan base, and all the flags will be out, won't they? I don't know what the full plans are yet.
Mm.
But I think, when me and Ped were talking about it yesterday, I think I said, we've done all we can. I don't think the fans can do much more. And I think there isn't a reliance on the fans, yeah, per se, because this manager, for example, doesn't believe in coach welcomes and all those sorts of things.
Mm.
And yet I would have thought it should be crystal clear to any observer that they made a positive difference. But we didn't have them last year. We escaped. But I don't know, mate, I really don't. I think you're not necessarily allowed to say it, but I think our fan base, particularly at Goodison, can scare the players more than they inspire them, you know, because there is a huge amount of expectation. But to me, we'll know in the first 5 minutes, won't we?
Mm.
I think all the orchestration will be done very well by the 78s and all the people around them who make things happen. And the manager, well, you know, what I say about when my match period starts is when I see the team, and I'm telling you here and now, I don't care who's injured, who isn't, but if I see Ashley Young on the starting 11 list, I will not be, I'm not going to say I'll be negative to the individual, but a little bit will come off my enthusiasm.
Mm.
It really will. Or if there's any other apparently random, you know, selection decisions, you know, and I won't know, will I, what's happened in training grounds. I won't know whether players are injured.
I won't know if the
laptop says don't start them or anything like that. So I think we're in those marginal gains situation.
Mm.
We can't really afford to have anything happening which gives the fans cause for doubt, and because that will transfer very quickly onto the football pitch.
In terms of Ashley, we're going to go to Eddie now, who's waiting patiently, but in terms of Ashley Young, he might have to play right back.
No, I know.
Because Nathan Patterson
would probably
be out. Coleman.
I'm just telling you how I will feel emotionally to it.
I know. I think it's...
Because I do take that as like playing with 10.5 players, right?
But would you rather see Ben Godfrey there than Young?
Yeah.
Would you? Okay. Fair play.
Fair enough.
And that's a sad indictment as well in its own right, isn't it?
Well, it's your centre-back playing right back, so yeah, it's not ideal, is it?
But it's not a time, and you, sorry, maybe it's just the way the question came out, but the way you asked the question implied, like, you know, doing the same thing was bad. Yeah. I think repeating what you've done successfully before is good.
Mm.
And the temptation, there's nothing in Deitch's MO so far that suggests he's going to do anything crazy or radical, like let's go 3 at the back or whatever. So he's going to try and stick to his system. is 4-4-1-1. And he'll just slot in whoever he thinks are the best players to satisfy that. And if Seamus is injured, clearly Nathan Patterson is, but Patterson's not been near the game at all anyway, then he's going to find a slot for Ashley Young. And I just think you keep going to that hill and you're going to die on it eventually.
Yeah, I was just thinking with the bus welcomes and stuff for something different, but we know he doesn't like that, but I'd be trying everything.
They have to be on a bus.
Yeah.
And the manager knows best because he's managed, you know, 500 games, 300 of them in the Premier League, so he knows best.
Fair enough, fair enough. Let's go to Eddie. Let's see what Eddie's got to say about it. Good evening, Eddie.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, but I can hear you twice. Just try again.
Hello?
Go on, we'll get through it. Go on, mate. There's just a little bit of just a bit of reverb, but go on.
Not the length of time Eddie's going to talk for. That's calls or anything to go. We're
go on, mate. What do you want to say?
Yeah. So after Monday's game, I don't know what's going on now. Like that was probably as I've been an Everton fan since 2014 because of Tim Howard. That was probably the worst game I've seen Everton play ever in my time, which is a lot to say because we've had some rough patches, but this is my fault. Like, you let Chelsea beat it. Like, it's Chelsea. Like, they're probably on the same level as a poorly managed team as we are, except they just have more money that they can hide it better.
That's true.
And like I had a conversation with a couple of my friends discussing like what's the worst managed team, like they just focus on like American teams, like the A's or the Washington Wizards and stuff like that. And then I was like, honestly, Everton might be the worst managed team I know, like in terms of not just like the manager, but like the way the company works. Because at least in the U.S., there's a lot of safety blankets because you can't get relegated, so that does help. But with that being a real thing in England, like relegation's a thing, and it's a threat for us for the last 3 years, and there hasn't been any real change done, and it's slowly it's progressed worse because we have less and less money to spend every summer or winter, and like, I saw reports that even after that 6-0 loss, Sean Dyche has no fear of getting sacked. Because, firstly, you can't pay him off to get sacked. And then you don't have... There's no one that would want to take this job right now, I feel. Just because of how rough it is to be the manager. So, I was trying to figure out the point I was trying to do with that. All I know is it's just tough times, isn't it? It's really tough to be to support the team.
In terms of there's no one who would want the job, I do disagree with that. I think it doesn't matter how difficult it is. Everton Football Club's still a huge job. It is difficult. It'd be lying, stupid, deaf, dumb, blind to think you're walking into something that's great and it's an easy fix. So if the manager was to leave, I think there will be plenty of people willing and wanting to take it on, especially with the stadium coming. That being said, is it the right time to sack a manager with 6 games to go? I personally don't.
No.
I don't see any upside in it. It's not... I think it'd be different if, and this will be definitely taken the wrong way by some people, but hey ho, I'm going away, I don't care. It would be different if Duncan Ferguson was still there. And the reason why I say that is someone who might be able to give the fans a lift for a short period of games, who knows the club and knows the players. He ain't there. Can Leighton Baines and Paul Tait do that? Don't know. It's the reality. I have no idea. But I'm not advocating it because I just don't think... I just think, what's the point at this stage? There will be no point. What I'm hoping for is the manager to loosen up a little bit and get back to what he's obviously was good at Burnley with, just grinding out some results. The fans, I've just asked John a question before we went to you, Eddie. I personally think it is going to fall back on us. I don't blame anyone who says, Baz, I'm knackered. I'm done. I'm 3 years. I can't cope. I haven't got the energy. I've no issue with that because I think we all feel like this. You're normally like Mr. Glass Art. I mean, I get accused of being too positive. You're even more than me in terms of each game. You go, we've got a chance and all that.
We've always got a chance.
Right? Yeah. Well, exactly. It's just we never play out like that, does it? But I've seen you at your lowest I've ever seen since I know you. I had Dave Feely in last week. Me and Ped had Dave in last week. Dave, I've known Dave for 20 odd years now. He's on the floor. He's another one, goes every home and away. He's on the floor with it. He texts me on the bus home from Chelsea the other night. He was like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
This is what has happened to us. This is what they have done to us. And I have to say, they have done to us because it is they. Well. It's everybody at that football club because you're all in it together. Changing the manager now, would it help? I don't think so. I don't think so. I might listen. You'd have a new manager bounce, but do you really when you actually, examine
it? We've got six games left.
Half of them are
in
the next week.
Exactly. So there's just no point. Would I get rid of them in the summer?
Yes.
I think the biggest thing for me, the honest to God, right now, is getting the ownership sorted.
It is. That's the priority.
Because that's the biggest thing. Now then, let's see where we... If we get relegated, for me, the manager would have to go. It wouldn't even be... I wouldn't even hear him out as to the reason he'd have to go. He took Everton down first time it's happened in...
60-odd years,
isn't it? Or 70, whatever it is. He would have to go. If we stay up, then there's a big case for him having to go anyway for not winning a game in more than a third of a season. But there's mitigating circumstances. But that is for the end of the season, as far as I'm concerned. The ownership is the biggest issue at Everton Football Club right now. It's burning. Yeah. The club is burning. The new owners, I think honestly, if 777 come in, I think they'll probably want to replace the manager and have their own idea on what. Now, is that right? I don't know. They might come in and they might... Who knows, right? But doesn't matter, really, for the summer at the moment. It doesn't matter. What matters is... In my opinion, us all being together as one,
totally,
because it's the only way we're gonna stay up, mate. Let's be honest, and it'll fall with the fans again. It will. I said this a couple of years ago, long before bus welcomes were discussed. It's gonna be on the fans. It will be on the fans to keep them up, and that's rightly or wrongly. That's the way it is.
And to use the phrase I used earlier on, I did that on the tweet, it really matters to us.
Mm.
So we'll find a way.
Yeah, it's us, isn't it?
You say people are on their arses, worn down by it all.
Yeah.
But come kickoff, they'll all be back on it for 90 minutes, an hour, a bit longer, an hour and three quarters.
100 minutes.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's be honest, John, if Everton go down, most of them squad will go.
Yeah.
The manager will go. Will he really be asked? He might be a bit, this pride might be dented a little bit, but then he'll get another job because that's what they do. Players will move to another club. Will they be bothered? Okay, they might be on their CV that they were the first team in 73 years to take Everton down.
Yeah.
But once they sign for the new club and they've got the shirts up and they're kissing the badge, look at Anthony Gordon kissing the Newcastle. Yeah. I mean, what's that all about, I've always dreamed of playing in the Newcastle Sunderland derby. Really? Have you really, mate? I don't think you have. He's doing great, don't get me wrong, but I'm only using Anthony Gordon as just an example of of players who move on. And the next, we could get... we had Jack Harrison who went down with Leeds, and I think that he's done all right. His form's dipped lately, but scores and he's grabbing hold of the shirt. Because players just go and play.
That's what they do.
But where are you?
Yeah,
and we feel it. We're
the only persistent thing, mate. Right?
Exactly. So
everyone else is transient. Mm. Everyone else is transient.
It's the fans that matter, and it'll be the fans who look at Moshiri. He sits there the other night in that Chelsea game. Well, where's he been? Where's his statements? Where's his thing to reassure us? Where's his speaking to Everton TV? Going, look, guys, I know I'm on my way out, but I can assure you I'm still doing the best. Even if he isn't, he should be trying to lead.
You want him to do the equivalent of Anthony Gordon saying, I've always wanted to play in a North East derby.
What I want him to do,
kick
John,
the badge as well.
Is lead.
No, but that's, now. And sometimes when you lead, you have to tell the people what they want to hear.
Exactly.
Whether they believe you or not,
exactly.
You've said
exactly.
It. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, because that was the first time I saw Mascheri in, like, I don't know, like 6 months or so.
Like, he was at West Ham, wasn't he? Was
I don't
it,
know.
Or was he? Someone said that.
Yeah, West
know.
Ham away. He was
West Ham away. He was there or something. And
he had better eyesight than I've got to see who's in the director's box.
He hasn't been to Goodison, has he?
No, that's what I mean, yeah.
No, I don't think he's allowed at Goodison right now for safety concerns or whatever.
No,
but the other last thing I had was real quickly. There's a couple expiring contracts coming up. Like, we have an option on Idrissa Gueye, Andre Gomez, Dele, Sheamus, and then Ashley Young. Would you take any of them back, or are they all gone?
Idrissa Gueye, 100%.
Two of them have a chance, don't they?
100%. Sheamus?
Perhaps.
Possibly, yeah, for another year, as long as he's the backup.
Yeah.
As long as we're not relying on him, because I don't think it's fair to either. Dele, if he comes on a pay-as-you-play and he's fit, but for nothing else, because what have we seen? We've seen nothing from him.
We saw him on TV.
Exactly. Well, there you go. There you go. And Ashley Young, no. No, not with Ashley Young. Andre Gomez, no. Not with Andre Gomez either. We need a new model, Eddie. It's as simple as that. We need a new way of doing things. For me, it's younger players with a coach who gets an identity into those players and a model.
Yeah. I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That says we buy relatively low and we sell high, and it's easier said than done. But if there's a determination and you get people in who want to be here for the long term and want to shape something in their identity and do it that way, and you've got people behind them who want to do the same, John, that's surely that's the only way it seems now that Everton could move forward.
Yeah, but who's on the books right now fits any of that?
Young players.
Blanthwaite.
Onana.
Yeah, both who could go in the summer.
But they should be the model, shouldn't he? Zara Blanthwaite for £1 million, and you sell him for 75.
Yeah,
it's an incredible piece of business.
A few pence for Stones previously, so we can do it. We have done it, rather. Not necessarily says we can, but we have done it. I just think, you know, the club as an entity is waiting for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as we all know, tomorrow never comes.
Yeah.
Right. And so
Boyzone said that, sang that, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
James Bond film, that, didn't he?
Tomorrow Never Dies.
It's a Bond film. Yeah, Tomorrow Never Dies.
I would like to, and we've talked about this on this channel so many times. I'd like to think that Kevin Thelwell is 100% committed to getting his act together and his team, and they're all figuring out what needs to be done as soon as this season's over. They've already made the decisions who's going to get a new contract and who isn't. They're already recognised, as we talked on the sofa last week, or was it the week before, after your little ailment sort of thing, about how many numbers you need to bring in to replace the ones you're going to let go, because you've got to have a basic level of competence in the squad and all that sort of stuff. And that all that is known, and they're just waiting for the season to be done, double-check what league division we're in, and execute.
Yeah.
That'd be great, wouldn't it, if that's what they've done?
If that's a plan, yeah. I mean, it is a plan. It's whether they could execute it.
Yeah.
Okay, I lied. The last thing was after.
Not
after
like Eddie, is it? To say and one more thing.
I knew he wasn't getting away with it that quickly. Go on, mate.
No, I just thought about Nathan Patterson because mm-hmm. he fit in the young players that should have developed and stuff. But he was on. He played like how was like 10 minutes at no. He played like 30 minutes at Chelsea, right? 30 mm-hmm. or like 40 minutes, and then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to look for a new right back? Or do we still have faith that he will develop into like something? Because the fact that Ben Godfrey and Ashley Young and Jameis, when he's fit, are all higher in the pecking order than him doesn't bode well. And then when he did have an opportunity at Chelsea, he got hurt. And he seems to be having issues with injuries, just in general. I personally think I really like him, but I don't think he can either stay healthy, or he's gone through two managers now, and neither of them have put him up as a first choice right back. So, is it time to look elsewhere?
I think it's always time to look elsewhere, because I think that's essentially how you build a better team, isn't it? Man City. They're looking elsewhere now, and they could do another treble. So it doesn't matter whether you're Manchester City, whether you're Everton, whether you're Derby County, whether you're Salford City, Wrexham, whoever. You should always be looking for better than what you've got. But what I would say with Patterson is the manager's not used them right.
Mm-hmm.
If we had an attack-minded manager, he would have developed them. And we haven't. We've got a defence-minded manager, and Nathan Patterson isn't a great defender the same way Seamus Coleman wasn't a great defender. I would argue Seamus Coleman wouldn't have potentially made it under Sean Dyche. Wouldn't have had him. But that, you know, the same as the way Frank Lampard disregarded Abdoulaye Doucouré, Sean Dyche got him and used him really well. So just because one, you know, don't forget a year ago, I remember people at Man City posting videos of Doucouré sat on the ball while Everton were warming up. When Lampard was here and New Year's Eve, when Lampard was done, so last year, saying he's gone, get him out the club, blah, 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 because him, Lampard had fell out and he wasn't getting used and all that. And then the next minute, Sean Dyche comes in, obviously likes Doucouré. Mm-hmm. Doucouré responds, and then the next minute, he's integral to Sean Dyche. In fact, recently. He's fell off a cliff, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. To come back, he's not been the same player since he come back, and Everton have stopped scoring, Everton haven't won. Mm. Sean Dyche is struggling because Doucouré's not doing what he needs him to. So
Patterson's not 23 till October.
Yeah, he's a baby. If Everton got a different manager, or Sean Dyche decided this summer, right, he's our right back, and I'm going to allow this good side of his game to develop, and we'll try to work on the defensive stuff with him, but essentially we want him going forward. I mentioned before to John and to Ped, when I was a bit under the weather at the weekend, I watched about 7 games on Saturday because I just couldn't move. And the amount of, I mean, something Ped's brought up the other week as well, but the amount of teams whose fullbacks are at the byline, and I'm not talking about great players, by the way, just necessity, just well-coached, getting in behind. Even fellas that are not lightning, but there's cover, creating opportunities. Well, that's what Patterson used to do. Now he doesn't. You watch him. He's terrified the other night at Chelsea.
Yeah.
He passed back all the time.
And he never did that. If you can't get your head up a 4-0 or 5-0, whatever it was, and whip crosses in, when you're 5-0 down, then there isn't anything down for you. And they do that simply because they're told what to do.
And he was on the side of the pitch where the manager could scream down his ear.
Exactly. But then you can't create, you know, it's like saying to Mikhailenko, you know, be amazing going forward. He's a far better defender than he is an attacking fullback. Mm. Patterson, in my opinion, would be a far better attacking fullback than he is a defender. So you've got to try to balance out it.
How many appearances do you think he's had this season?
Patterson
in the league?
Probably like 5.
6. Half
19.
A 19? How many starts has he had though?
Oh, very few. But that's the same number of appearances he had last season.
Okay.
So you're talking about a player who's always in the match day squad, who's always sat on the bench. Of course, you know, as Eddie says, occasional injuries. So, you know, but a bit like some of the other younger players, they're just moments here and there.
Didn't he do the classic the other night when you've been out the team? So you go on halfway through a game and want to try to do a bit more than you normally do and pick up an injury.
That's exactly what he did in my mind. Yeah.
Because his hamstring, because he's sprinting back.
Yeah.
Not defending him, by the way. Do I think Patterson has played games where you've gone, oh, he looks great, because he hasn't. No. He looked better under Frank Lampard, to be
fair. Better for Scotland.
He looks well. Steve Clarke loves him.
Yeah.
And he feels the confidence there. We know what confidence does for players. Sean Dyche might sit here and go, you want to see him in training? He's terrible. Doesn't do it. So that's why I don't pick him. I don't know. But I know the player we had and I've seen him for Scotland.
Truthful with him and say, you're not it, lad.
Well, I think that's what Eddie's saying, is it time? Yeah. But like I said before, Ed, just to go back to it, we should be looking for better players than everyone we've got, though.
Yeah.
Really. Evan should have been looking for... I like Beto because I like his enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Could Everton have got better than for 25 million than Beto as a centre-forward? Without being disrespectful to him, I 100% think we could have done. I like him. Because, I gave him man of the match on Monday because he never stopped running. He wasn't great, but he was the only one, in my opinion, who didn't throw the towel in. Mm. I think every other player on that pitch threw the towel in, apart from Beto. The other
he needs to work on offsides now. His offside, his inability to stay onside.
Well, his header was superb. It's just the fact he was offside, a yard offside, which is terrible when you're looking across the line. It's terrible.
Because that happens a lot with him. He drifts offside too much. Mm. Him and Decore just like to be offside.
Decore's one in the first half, I don't know whether it was 0-0 or 1-0, but we broke really well. And I don't know whether it was James Garner or Dwight McNeil slid him the ball. And he was looking along the line and we were in round the back of him if he'd have just timed his run and he went. And when you see the replay, he's miles off. How are you running that far offside?
The last couple of games, both opposition defences have known that you can catch Everton players offside quite easily. And you watch it, it'll happen again on Sunday.
Because they're not switched on.
That's right. It'll happen again on Sunday. But even if it's DCL who's up front, gets caught offside too much. Mm. Recovery
is
not good enough.
I don't think I've seen that many offsides for a while. Like, this team just goes offside half the time. And then it just destroys the atmosphere that you have left.
Trying to get the edge, you see. They're trying to gamble and pinch a bit and get in behind. You can't do it no more because it gets scrutinised.
Because if you had pace, you wouldn't feel the need to do it, would you?
But the players have got to do it. My answer to the original question, Ed, is no. You can't be sacking them now.
No.
Would you send him on loan? Like Brantwaite?
Because he developed well. I mean, that's a bold thing. Would we send him at?
I meant Patterson, but...
Patterson. Well, you'd need a new right-back then, wouldn't you? Essentially. Yeah. We'd have to get to the summer, make a decision. The answers aren't inside the club, are they?
No.
Young's 39 this year. He's actually done all right for a free transfer.
I think he's...
Player. He's played too much.
He gets hated too much, but I don't think he's been that bad of a player.
No, he should have been 20 minutes from the end player and managed through games and played the odd game. Yeah. He hasn't, because the manager has obviously wants him on the pitch. But I don't think we could have him as right back. I don't think we could have Seamus saying, Seamus, you're our first choice. Seamus would give it a right good go for us, but I don't think he would turn around and say, honestly, really, at 35, really, I'm your first choice. So it's what Everton would do. They've got a 22-year-old right back there. Invest in him. And if you're not going to invest in him, maybe sell him, yeah. Anyway, Ed, we've got Sharpie waiting to get on, mate. Yeah. So nice one as usual. Guys. Take it easy.
Bind them.
See you, Ed. Sharpie.
Just trying to see how many times we were offside, but I can't find it.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm right. Long time no speak, indeed, isn't it?
Mate,
what is there to say? I'm kind of like echoing what Ed said, really. That
feels like a waste of a call if you're just going to copy what Ed said.
I think I'm just going to copy
what
he said.
It's an English accent, so it's different.
Rephrase it then.
Okay, rephrase it. I don't think I can. It was just appalling.
It was. It was.
Oh God!
Let's look forward, not backward.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think it's people's opportunity, John. Yeah. The game's still fresh. Go on, ignore John. Well, there. Guess, get it out of your system, then we can do John's bit.
No. I think. I mean, I've been thinking for ages that Dyche shouldn't be a manager. I thought this way for quite some time, and I know that you guys have been kind of not. No one wants to say to sack a manager. We don't really want to do that. We don't want to put someone out of their job, right? And I know that you guys have been saying, no, we shouldn't do it. We couldn't do it. I don't know whether you're saying it because you can't say that. You don't really feel that. And that I think now you're saying there's no point now. I kind of disagree because I just think the point is that we've got to change something, even though there's only, what, 5-6 games left. We've got to, if we did do that, we would hope that there would be that sudden boost that we would need, because as things stand, it's a sinking ship.
So you sack the manager then, yeah?
I think we have to.
Okay,
I just can't see.
You're the owner. You're the owner. Yep. When are you going to do it?
When?
Yeah.
If I was the owner, I would do it immediately. But then again, I would have done it probably 6-7 weeks ago.
Yeah, but where we are now, if you're advocating sack the manager, you're going to sack him today, are you? Or tomorrow morning or something?
Does it matter?
I think it does. We've got a game in 3 days. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd do it right now then. I'd be on the blower to him right now.
Sharpie, hang on. Let me just jump in there. What would you do then if Farhad Moshiri phoned you now and went, Sharpie, go ahead, you do it. I can't do it. I've sacked too many. What would be your game plan? No, I mean, I don't know. In terms of sacking them, how would we go forward then with the... Okay. What would you do?
Okay, first and foremost, I don't think I'd want to get involved with anything in the running of Everton at the moment.
No, I've just meant, what would be your plan? If you're going to sack the manager, what would be your plan till the end of the season? What would you do?
I know what you mean. I realise what you mean. It is a rather off-the-cuff comment based on the performances.
No, Sharpie, stop. Right. I'm not
bottling it now.
Yeah, he is bottling it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have said it. What I'm saying is if you were going to sack him and you just said you would do, which is fine. I'm not here to tell people how they bleed and think. Everyone's got their own opinion. So what I'm saying is if you could pull the trigger now and go, right, you sack Sean, thanks for everything, shake your hand, off you go. What would you do for the final 6 games? Who would you put in charge, or how would we get through the season if you think it'd make a difference? I mean,
okay, I would probably immediately put a couple of the senior heads, like Coleman. Maybe he could just get us through. And then maybe, I don't know, it's a desperate measure. Who else is there available? I've kind of always wanted Potter in.
He couldn't come in at the moment, though, mate. If you were getting Graham Potter in the summer, I think, if you were ever getting him, it'd have to be at the very start of a summer.
Why couldn't he get him in now?
Because he'd come in and want to start playing triangles at the back in when we need points. I just think, me personally, I like Graham Potter. And I think if you got the structure right, I think he plays nice footy and he'd done great at Brighton, but Brighton was set up fantastically well. I just think he would be a massive risk when we've only got 6 games left.
If you sack the manager now and his 2 coaches go with him, you can only replace him with people who are already at the club.
Seamus, I think it romantically, it's brilliant. Great idea. I think reality-wise...
You said it before. It would be late.
Imagine Coleman took Sunday and we got beat 1-0.
I guess the reason you're talking about risk, I just don't even... I suppose I can't see that risk because I can just see us going down as things, the way things are. Especially after that drubbing now. I can't see a way out for us if things stay the same. We talked about Dyche. He isn't going to change the way he's playing. In fact, it's probably got even worse. We've lost that defensive capability. So it's a desperate measure. But I just think it's a risk that we have to take.
Okay.
Otherwise, we are going down. I just can't see. I mean, Ped said the other day that Sheffield United are probably like the only team that are worse than us. Well, based on that, then we're going to look like we're going down. I think it's a risk we have to do. whether it's an interim, someone who's got no experience.
I think regardless of what Ped said the other day, Burnley are worse than Everton and Luton are worse than Everton. All three. I'll tell you why they are, because all three have got less points. So they're all worse, aren't they? Mm. Burnley are definitely worse than Everton. Burnley are terrible.
We've won more than twice the number of games Burnley have won. Mm. We've won half as many again as Luton have won. Mm.
And what is the form list?
Hey, listen. You've watched this enough to know my thoughts on one win in 15 games.
It's not good.
It's awful. Know what I mean? It's absolutely disgusting. It's disgusting. It's the worst record in my lifetime.
I think you did one before, which you might not have heard about in recent times, how many points we've won compared to Forest. And we've won one more.
We've won one more than Forest since they changed their manager.
Yeah. So since their new manager gave them their new manager uplift, we've won more points than them and we've been absolutely dire.
We haven't won it. We've won one game in 2024.
So
I'm not, Charlie, by the way, I'm not like having a go or disagree. I'm just saying, I'm just offering you like a response to that, you know what I mean? It's just like dead risk. I think it is.
Sharpie's observation, because it's all opinion based, these things, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
But my interpretation of what Sharpie's saying is it can't be worse than leaving the manager in post because
I get it,
we are going to get relegated with him as the manager. Therefore, if you can't make it worse,
then why not?
Whatever you do might make it better.
Yeah. I'm
not there, by the way, for what it's worth.
Okay. I think what it is that when we were playing a few months ago, whatever it was, and I had conversations with you guys, and we picked up a few draws or whatever it was, I could see the fight in the team. I could see the players, and I was really like rallying the troops, saying they're putting a good shift in, and if you put a good shift in, you can grind out results. And I think on that basis, I thought, okay, we'll be all right. But within the recent history, I'm just not even seeing any heart or passion or any kind of energy anymore. And if you haven't got that as a bare minimum, you're knackered.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that, mate. It is very worrying. Lately, they just don't... I don't know. Bournemouth scared me. Bournemouth weren't bothered that day, and they still beat us. And that worried me. Newcastle should have put the game to bed. We responded well after the subs and had a little go, but we still had to rely on Mikhailenko kicking one off the line, Tarkovsky slicing one against his own post, Garner blocking a shot in 97th minute after we'd equalised to get a draw.
That's what defenders do. Yeah.
No, I know, but I'm saying we still could have lost that. We lost one at Bournemouth, and we didn't learn, it seemed, 3 days later. We were just a little bit more fortunate than we were at Bournemouth.
Here's the half-full version coming in each of those incidents, as you rightly said. We could have lost when we didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also been games during this period when we could have won, when we didn't.
Absolutely.
Well. I mean, the nightmare at Bournemouth, come on, really? You know, it's... But you make your own luck, don't you, as they say?
Yeah,
I mean, if we're organised and playing well, Sheamus doesn't score an own goal, does he?
Well, see, goalkeeper, that was nothing to do with Sheamus, just the goalkeeper.
I didn't say it was his fault.
Yeah.
He was the one who scored the own goal, right? The same with the goalkeeper doesn't do a stupid pass like he did at Chelsea if you're on top of your game, trying to thread through a needle with bloody the best player on the pitch standing in front of you. Mm. Yeah, so they are in a bit of a mess, and that's on the manager, ultimately. It always is, isn't
it's
it?
Awful.
But what we do know is these players can play better than they showed the other day. Mm. We've got 4 points from the last three games, which is the same as Forest have got. Now, the thing is, that's a stat, isn't it?
Mm.
It doesn't tell you how those points were achieved.
Mm.
And I think most of us would say in those three games that Forest have had, I'm pretty damn sure they've played better than we played in our three
100%.
Games.
But if we match Forest and Luton, we'll stay up.
Absolutely right.
As that.
Absolutely right.
You guys have got more optimism than me, I tell you. You seem to have got more faith in Dyche than I do, mate. I tell you.
Sharpie, that is just a fact. If Everton get the same points as Forest and Luton, I didn't say we would. I just said
it's all lifts. It is all lifts. And based on what I've seen recently, they're big ifs. I think that's my point.
Well, Man City just have to match Arsenal and Liverpool, and they're league champions.
Yeah, correct. Again, another stat. We're just throwing facts out here, Sharpie. We're just spitting facts.
Yeah,
no, it's
fine.
No, listen, mate. I get where you're coming from.
I do.
Absolutely.
I do as well.
I don't know. It's just bad. I was thinking the other day that, you know, I mean, I watch you guys all the time, and the last two relegation battles you've had this season and prior to that, I definitely sense, especially with you, Baz, mate, that the anger and the frustration that you had with what was going on.
Mm.
And you know, Penn and John as well. And you had a much more sort of like a visceral sort of emotions towards it. Mm. But this season, you kind of seem that you're like more resigned to the fact. It's like you're just the inevitable is coming. Is that how you kind of like see it? You're definitely way more different, I think, at this stage of the season than you were two seasons ago.
Yeah, I've made me peace with it this year, if I'm being honest.
What does that mean? What do you mean? It made the peace with it.
I was convinced under Lampard there was no way we'd go, and I was correct.
Right.
People told me we'd no way we'd stay up, and
that's right.
Yeah. I was convinced, and we didn't. We're still here. I thought Sean Dyche would get us out of it last year, albeit it was difficult. But I still
believed.
I believed he would this year. I'm not convinced in the slightest we get out of it.
Right.
Doesn't mean I think we'll definitely go. I just haven't got any conviction. Mm. Therefore, I just think, well, if we go, we go. And it's been coming.
Right.
And other people who've protected when the results haven't been there, they're the ones who'll feel it, won't they? So it's not a great attitude to have, but I'm worn down, the same as everybody else. If you're asking me now, do I think we'll 100% stay up? I wouldn't be able to say yes, because I don't.
No. One of the ways
to deal with previous anxiety, two seasons, you do feel like that way.
One of the ways to deal with anxiety is through confidence, right? So what you've just described is two seasons of confidently knowing.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't know, but you knew
felt there was enough there.
We were not going to get relegated. Mm. And now what you've done, to use one of my phrases, is you've come to terms with the worst thing that can happen, which is relegation.
Right,
Therefore, you cope with it better.
Mm.
For what it's worth, I'm still just in the green on, we're not getting relegated.
Mm, good.
But guess what? 6 o'clock Sunday, I might have a completely different view. And so will you. Because if we've won, you'll be thinking we're not getting relegated.
Absolutely. Well, right? If Everton beat Forest on Sunday, then that should give everybody
a lift.
Loads of confidence that we'll stay up. We'd go 4 points ahead of them. It'll be half three, John, when the game's finished. Oh, 6 o'clock. Well, I'll have, put it this way, if Everton win on Sunday, I'll have one pint. I'll have a bevy.
Florida. Calm down, Baz. Calm down.
I'll have one pint in Epcot.
But we'd be four points
ahead of Forest. I'm praying Brentford go to Luton and beat them.
Yeah, we'd be 5 points clear.
And then Brentford will be safe.
We've got a lower number of results.
But that's where we are, mate. Let's be honest. We only have to finish 17th, don't we? You know,
that's right.
That's the reality. Christ. Ideally, we'd finish.
But the clock's on our side, right? If you win, or as the softer version of it is, match whatever Forest and Luton do, game by game, the stress goes up for them because the finishing line's approaching.
Mm.
And if we exceed what they get, and clearly if we beat Forest, we exceed them, right? Then that puts huge pressure on Luton to get a result the next time they play, because they're playing catch-up.
Oh, bloody
hell. Well, that's it, isn't it?
This weekend is a very, very,
a
very,
must
very
win.
Big
How many times have we said that? How many times have we said it's a must win over
Luton,
the course of this season?
Luton have got five games left. Brentford are home on Saturday.
Yeah.
And clearly Brentford win on Saturday. That's it. They're safe.
Yep.
They can forget about everything.
Something for Brentford to play for.
Ivan Toney needs to pull his finger out and start scoring.
Right.
Then Luton go to Wolves the week after. Well, Wolves have got an outside chance in Europe.
Yeah.
They're scrapping for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's Luton-Everton, which we always knew was a big one.
That's it. Just don't lose.
Then Luton go to West Ham. Luton go to West Ham, and I imagine Moyes will be scrapping for Europe there because I think they'll go out of the Europa League tomorrow, and therefore he'll have one thing left to play for.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Luton finish with Fulham on the last day. Well, if it comes down to the last day,
we may
as well close the curtains.
Yeah, because we've got Arsenal.
Arsenal will put 3 or 4 past us, so that's what you would think. Anyway, that's stranger optimistic. Things have happened, of course.
Indeed.
So
indeed.
We'll know more Sunday. If we put it this way, if Everton win on Sunday and Luton have lost on Saturday, then I will feel a lot more comfortable than what I do today.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, 5 points clear with different... 4 games to go.
Do it.
We'd be 5 points clear
with four games to go and them going to Wolves.
4 games to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
that sounds nice. When you put 5 points clear, that sounds quite nice, doesn't it?
Got to do it in the
first.
But anyway, go on, mate.
Yeah. On a different note, I've noticed you got the change of decor on in the studio then. The shirts on the back.
The shirts are going back up, by the way.
Oh, they are?
They are going back up. We just haven't got round to it yet, but they will be going back up, yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping to see the salmon top circa 98-99 season, you know.
One of my favourite shirts.
They will be going up, mate. Don't worry. We just haven't got around to putting them back up yet, but they will.
Yeah.
Hedge just had a big box of shirts opening.
I know was just chatting. I've seen a couple of crackers, isn't it?
He's getting them ready.
If we could get there's that number 10 back that you had up there, he'd do us a job for the last few games.
Who was it?
Gilfie. Get him back. Get him back for this. The last half a dozen games. Go on, mate.
Yes, sorry. One more thing, if I may. I was having a chat with a student the other day, right? And he was a Brazilian guy. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that, it's a bit of a broader question, but he was telling me that his local team, when they sell players, right?
Yeah.
They get a percentage of any of the transfer fee. I don't know if you've heard about this. Sorry for the random question, but I was just wondering if it was something that you'd heard about.
What, a sell-on?
Like a sell-on fee, but I thought it was only for the next sell-on, right?
Mm.
But apparently, we were talking about Richarlison. That's it.
Mm.
So his original club, they get something 5% on every transfer that he has throughout his football career. Have you heard about this?
No, that doesn't sound right to me.
Because I don't understand
how that would work.
How any club like Everton would then do, and then Everton selling to Tottenham and saying, "Oh, by the way, you've got to pay.
If you sell him again, you've got to give them 5%.
Where was he after Maisie, was it, or somewhere like that? You've got to give them another 5%. It might be. I haven't.
All things are possible.
I don't know, I haven't heard about that before, mate. No. Certainly, I've heard of one sell on quite clearly, but never numerous ones. But I don't know.
I must admit, when I asked him, he seemed like very confident, and that was his local team. And he was saying that was how they funded the stadium build, not just for their own, but also the other team. I think it was Atlético Mineiro.
Yeah.
I think it was them. But yeah, I think he said maybe 3 or 4%. And I said to him, but that's just the next team, right? He went, no, it's for all of them. So he would have got 3 to 4% from the Watford to Everton fee, and then 3 to 4% from Everton to Tottenham. And he was like, yeah. And I thought, no. So I just wondered if you guys had any insight.
We're with you on that one.
Watford would have agreed it to Everton quite clearly. Because they've bought some off them and then put the sell on in. So they've obviously got a fee off Watford. And then when they sold them to Everton, got a fee off Everton, clearly, or a percentage off Everton.
Yeah.
But then I don't see Everton going, oh, yeah, we'll honour it as well.
Right.
That seems a bit weird. But listen, all things are possible.
We don't know. Now would the student who you're talking to, he wouldn't know either.
Yeah, so.
All right, lads. Okay, all right,
Chaffy,
right,
top man.
Good chance to you. All the best.
All right, and you take care, mate. Ta-ra.
Cheers,
mate. We're staying on the line because we've got Mark next. Mark, good evening. How are you? What do you want to say?
Still recovering from Monday.
Aren't we all, mate?
As I think most of us are.
Yeah.
I just, in all the years I've supported Everton, since the mid-80s, I've just never known a season like it. From a shocking manager, poor team. On top of that, you've got points deductions twice. A takeover, which is on the never-never.
Yeah.
And I can't see when the ship's going to start turning round. And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer.
Sunday.
I just... Yeah. You say that, John.
It has to. But no, I know exactly.
As a club, you're absolutely right.
But the club thing is much more difficult, of course, isn't it? Because
well, new owners would be a start, wouldn't
it? It would. It would.
Why is that? Why is that dragging on so much? Do you think? Because it just seems to be. I mean, it's what we thought maybe originally, was it November? And then it was going to be the new year. And then it was going to be Easter, you know.
And Christmas at this rate, mate.
I have a bit of a thought around this, and it's not based on anyone's told me. So imagine a situation where with 777 Football Group, we've gone through those phases of they'll never get approval. Right. Then the Premier League says we're minded to approve subject to these conditions.
Yeah.
And then people say, well, that's just a polite way of saying no.
Yeah.
Right. And then that changes a little bit. And it has this where it is now, isn't it? Mm. People, no one's talking about whether they're going to get approval or not.
No.
It's like, have they got the money?
It's money again.
Have they got the money? In other words, the approval thing sounds like it's done, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's have you got the money?
Mm.
Now, we've heard about these people in the shadows who want to invest, right?
Yeah.
But the world is full of investment companies, isn't it?
Mm.
People with cash piles that they invest, try and invest in things which are undervalued so that they can realise a return and so on. One would suspect that once you get to the point where the world, a bit of a big thing that, the world, but if the world believes 777 Football Group have had a yes and they now just have to produce the money, maybe there's more people who want to lend money to 777 to fund their purchase of Everton.
Right.
So someone comes forward, ABC company.
Yeah.
Says, we'll do a deal with you. We know you've got to pay these MSP guys off, for example. How's about we lend you a certain amount of money as part of what's going on, and we'll charge you X percent, say. And X percent is less than Everton are paying now. Would you proceed with the deal if it was you on the old terms, which are slightly worse than what these guys are saying? Or would you say, well, no, we'll have a look at that. Problem is, we've got a deadline. Well, let's get an extension then, if we can, so that we can look at these new offers of funding to see if they really are real. And particularly if the people who are making the suggestions are rather large companies who've got great track records and lots of that.
Do you mean, sorry, that'll come in with 777?
No, either come in with them or be their source of funding, okay. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a Sherlock thing. Why would you not do it, right?
Mm.
And therefore, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's all it is. They're actually getting offers of funding. Mm. Now, clearly, the flip side...
Are you saying Benedict Cumberbatch is involved here, John?
Clearly, that's the half-full version.
Yeah,
half-empty version, which is the one that's, I guess, is prevalent on social platforms and stuff like that, is they haven't got the money. They're scrambling around down the back of the sofa trying to find it. The bluff has been called.
Mm.
They've been told, yes, subject to you doing this, and you can't do it.
Yeah, okay.
So, on the basis, the one thing we've learned since last October, November time is guessing what's really going on is a game fraught with danger, because it can make you look a bit of a numpty, you know, because something that was never, ever going to happen, like approval, looks like it has, you know, in the passage of time. So, and then you get into, well, how long have we got to wait then? You know, and you've got people saying, oh, nothing's going to happen for months. And other people saying, it's the couple of weeks that never ends, yeah?
Mm.
And then you get people going, well, in a couple of weeks, we'll know what division we're in, so maybe they just want to kick the can down the road so they can see what division we're in. There's a whole host of second-guessing going on, but it just looks like it's when rather than if. And maybe that just means the terms of the deal are different. That's all they need to conclude, what the terms are. But you're right, a lot of it could have been put to bed just simply, as you said or indicated before, Baz, if Farhad Moshiri just made some form of statement saying, you know, this is ongoing.
It's ongoing or whatever.
Don't worry about it type of thing. We'd all laugh and go, thanks for that, you know, made me feel better.
Mm.
But at least he will have said something, you know. But
I just think,
following the Bill Kenwright school of communication, isn't he? Say nothing.
I just think everyone could do it. Whether people took it with a pinch of salt, people put it in the bin and said, what a load of crap. It would at least show, in my opinion, someone trying to show a little bit of leadership when it's quiet and that he's still engaged.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. You're right though, Marcus. Season's been unbelievable. Oh. It really has.
It would have been bad enough even without the previous two.
Yeah.
All right, listen, if you get after the last two seasons, yeah. You keep it, we'll keep telling ourselves our next season it'll get better.
Yeah. But that'll only happen, then, in my opinion, with new owners.
Oh,
mate.
It has to be, yeah.
Honestly.
Nothing will happen until new owners come through the door.
Because it'll... If something's fundamentally broken, and it is at Everton Football Club, it's how does it change? Well, you can move the deck chairs about, can't you? But and that's what Everton have kind of done with managers. But there's been no new vision. There's been no clear pathway. There's been no plan how to get to the promised land, if that's what you want, or certainly get to a place, like you say, a place called better. It's just been keep doing it, and it's a little bit like Sean Dyche is doing now. We'll just keep doing it, and it might change. I think that only changes when a fresh outlook comes in. Don't forget, John, just to finish.
Yeah,
if Everton get new owners in, it'll be the first pair of fresh eyes on the business.
For a long time.
For 20, 30 years. 30 years, won't it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah, I was just going to say, no one who's there at the moment, you know, in military terms, has come out the ranks to lead, have they?
No.
Yeah, they're all looking upwards for leadership, and there just isn't any there. And that includes...
That's because they're all scared to.
Maybe.
Quite possibly. Yeah, I just think, to be honest, mate, that the culture of the organisation, you know, over the last 20, 30 years, that Baz calls out, particularly Ken Wright, Baxendale, prior to that, Ken Wright, Elston, it's all been very narrow, hierarchical environments where everything went to the next person up the stack from you. And therefore, ultimately, decisions were all made by one or two people maximum. And if you think that the normal MO for the last 3, 4, 5 years has been Denise ruled the whole place with an iron fist. She asked Bill. Bill asked Farhad. Farhad came back 3 weeks later with an answer when it was too late. And then it went back down the track again.
Yeah.
And you've taken out, it's like cutting the heads off the hydra or whatever it is, you know. You cut them off, but it's still there.
Two heads grow back.
Eh?
Yeah.
Two heads grow back, right?
Yeah. And then you get 3.5 million quid.
Yeah.
Happy days. And you're working for Mersey?
Yeah,
now?
If only, eh? Easy money.
It's the whole...
Oh, that National Rail, yeah.
Organising the whole of Merseyside's
transport. So that'll go... That's knackered then. That's
so knackered. If you get it on a train and it says it's going to Liverpool and you end up in Speech, then you know why.
You know why. But hey, hon.
Scary.
Keep the faith, Mark. Sunday, hey, mate, all turn.
As Evertonians, that's all we've got, right? You, that and Evan and Toffee TV. Oh, that's what we've got.
Yeah. Feel for you then.
Keep the faith. That's about all we could say at these times, isn't it? Yeah?
Oh, God.
Nice one, Mark.
Cheers, Mark. Take care,
right,
mate.
Boys, look after yourselves.
All
take care.
Take care, mate. We'll see you later.
Mate.
Jake says, Baz, why do you think Dyche doesn't fancy Dan Juma? I think Sunday we'll play a front three of Dom, McNeil and Dan Juma. I don't know whether he's done enough, Jake, in training, but he's been injured, hasn't he, since January? That's probably why he's not been given. You know what, though? On Friday, was it Friday or was it Monday? Friday, wasn't it? Did he play on Friday night in the 21s? Yeah. He played one of the nights in the 21s. Was not impressed at all with him. His decision making impaired. It's not his running around. He got put through twice, right, on the angle. And all he had to do was drag it onto his left foot and hit it. And he tried to cut back in, and a kid took it off and tried as if, like, I know exactly what you're going to do. This is an international footballer. It's a fella that has got 1 in 2 in Spain. And the young defender was just like, you're going to cut back in on your right, mate. Just like, took the ball. And it's like, those are the moments where show a little bit of class. Knock it onto your left, bang it. If the keeper saves it, great. It's those moments where you think you have got to be better than what you're showing. If he's that reliant on his right foot, the way Dwight is on his left, play him on the right then. Just play him on the right, because at least he'll go on the outside and get crosses in or shots across the goal. Don't put him on the left in the hope he cuts in, because he's not Damari Gray.
Confidence.
Damari Gray's better.
Confidence. It's lack of confidence, isn't it?
No, it is, but still, I seen Anthony Gordon, whether people, Evertonians, rip him or not, seen Anthony Gordon play at that level and destroy people. It was easy. Yeah. This is Dan Zuma, and he, a lad just, it's just like, that's, I've seen him, I'm only saying it because I've seen him do it in the first team for us. Mm. Like, the left foot shot on me, back across the goalie, cutting back in. If Dwight McNeil done it at the other end, we'd be fuming with him. Mm. So why does he get a pass? He shouldn't. Play him on the right-hand side. Bob the Blue says, I watched the under 21 game. Yes, Dan Juman was absolutely useless. But I'd just play him on the other side, Bob, whereas he can go on the outside of people, or if he can work it onto his right foot, he can go across the keeper and we might get a trap in. So, but it probably about Daz says he doesn't track back. Probably why he doesn't play Jake, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
Thanks for everyone who's wished me a belated happy birthday as well. Appreciate that.
Happy birthday.
We've got Abby in the chat. Abby, hello. Good evening. You okay?
How are you doing now, Baz?
I'm all right, Ab. I'm feeling better. Thank you very much.
He's still delicate.
I couldn't believe how bad we were on... Well, actually, I could, really, because we've been shit all season, but...
fair play.
It was probably the worst I've seen us in years.
Mm. Yeah, not wrong.
You know... And yeah. we might not have won a lot under Mike Walker, but at least we put in effort.
All's else, hang on, before you carry on, just let me qualify that line. You've just said we might not have won a lot under Mike Walker. No, we didn't. We were crap. But
we put in effort. That's my point.
Mm.
And we had people playing in their proper positions and a few people with pace. That's our problem. We have a manager that won't play people in their positions.
Mm.
We don't have any pace.
Mm.
We can make chances, but we can't put them away.
Mm. Yeah.
But we've been the same for the last three seasons. It wasn't that much better under Lampard, really.
No, no.
We were scoring, but we had, you always thought under Lampard, we had more of a system.
Mm.
Whether the players knew what it was or not, or were able to work under it, that's different.
Yeah.
We had a system. He's not stubborn like Dyche.
Yeah, but he hasn't.
Dyche will only... Yeah. I mean, Dyche... I can't understand why Dyche hasn't used Chimiti more. I know he's young, but he's there.
That's one way of putting it.
Why buy him if you're not going to use him?
Yeah, Abby, listen, I can't disagree with you there. I'd have used him. I'm not saying he's good enough. I'm not saying he's the finished article. He's a young lad, but he does look quite quick.
Deserves more than 2 minutes.
He deserves more than 2 or 3. I just don't know what you're hoping to achieve. See, I'd have put him on at half time the other night. We were 4-0 down. I'd have stuck him up with Beto and gone, go ahead, lads.
Yeah. Get 45 minutes.
I would have as well.
Nothing to lose here. Go ahead.
Harrison's. I'm glad at the moment. I'm glad, as much as I want us to have money, I'm glad we don't, in a way, because people would want us to buy Harrison, and I don't think he's worth it. I wouldn't pay 15 million for Jack for what 15, let alone 30 for him, for what, you know, for what he's, for the end product. It's he's not worth it.
Mm.
Okay.
Hmm.
Fair play.
Can't disagree.
Or is that just... Would he work better under a different manager?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, I suppose, Abney. What I would say is...
He was brilliant under... But he was really good under Bielsa. But was that Bielsa's tactic?
I think if you spoke to Leeds fans, what they would say is Jack Harrison is up and down.
Yeah.
Not running up and down the wing. He's up and down, as in he looks good.
Yeah, no,
some weeks.
I know what you mean.
He's averaging, he was eight goals and seven assists, I think, roughly a season for Leeds. He's got 3-3 for us this season. Yeah. Played a lot on the left for Leeds, which Dyche hasn't done because obviously Dwight McNeil's there and he can't drop Dwight McNeil. Doesn't know. He don't think he realises that is an option you can do. But Jack Harrison hasn't pulled up any trees lately either, let's be perfectly honest. End product hasn't been good enough of late. So I don't know, Abby. He might be better under a new manager. He might not be. We wouldn't know, would we?
But he's going back anyway. So.
Yeah.
If there was a deal to be done, because obviously he doesn't want to go back to Leeds. And
nope.
I don't think they want him, do they?
No.
If there was a deal to be done, next question is, would you do it? If we had money.
For 15 million, potentially. Yeah. I probably would.
How old is he?
If the man, 27, if this manager stays, because Jack Harrison is what this manager wants, as in he does work hard. Yeah. We can talk about his end product and we can all say, yeah, it's not been good enough. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Jack probably wouldn't disagree with it, to be fair. If you're asking me if we had 15 million to buy a different player, then could we get better value in Europe? Younger and quicker? Of course we could. There's players all over Europe. That's what I meant.
With value-wise, I'm sure we could get somebody better with a better end product.
Our recruitment team would have to realise there's other countries rather than England, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. I've never understood this Premier League proven thing. To me, it doesn't matter.
No.
If you're a good player, if you're a player that's good enough to play in Spain or Italy or Germany, you should be good enough to play in England.
I'll bring John here.
Dan Juma should be playing better.
You should be good enough for that.
I'll bring John in here, but what you need, John, in that instance is the fundamentals that are good enough for England, don't you? So you need
to pick up, you need to recruit on attributes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is in this league is about probably height, physical strength, pace, acceleration, those sorts of things.
Or a really good goal scoring record.
Or a very, very good goal scoring record. Or exceptional technical ability.
And we don't seem to do that.
And if you don't get any of those things, then you suddenly think, what did I spend £25 million on that player for? Yeah. But I don't think it's a totally proven in the mid ranks or the lower end of the market evidence that you bring players in from Spain and if they score goals there, they'll score goals here.
Because
we've had a couple of examples of that not being the case at all.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well,
Sandro being a big example. But I think you're right. I really do that. There's probably better ways you can spend that 15 million quid if you want to take a bit of more risk than that backstop of, you know, Premier League experience.
Mm.
I mean, the league has a number of clubs who recruit from everywhere except the Premier League. And they're all above us. So, of course, it de-risks it if you get two players for your 15 million quid on less wages than your one player from 15 million quid would have been.
That's the beauty of it, though.
And therefore, you get two bites of the cherry, really.
Yeah. Everton could spend, Jack Harrison, I believe at Leeds, he's on £90,000 a week, say. So
we'll be paying
so 15
most
million,
of that, won't we?
So 15 million quid in the summer.
Three-year deal.
Everton could easily get two players in Europe for £15 million combined.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you wanted to commit to the amortisation of, okay, we'll do it, we'll do, I don't know, £2-5 million players in Europe and our amortisation is £1.5 million a year, so that's £3 million. You could easily get two players, say it's a bit more, say they're both £7.5 million, so it adds up to Jack's 15 million. Yeah. Everton could get two players in Europe with the attributes we're looking for that combined price for half Jack Harrison's wages combined.
I agree.
And therefore you look and go, well, that makes sense then. We'll do that. And
both will have higher ceilings from an income perspective.
Exactly. If one works and one doesn't, well, one, you put the Premier League tax on, so you give them enough games that you can go play in the Premier League. So
score goals.
And the other one is something you develop. And that, Brighton do it, Brentford do it, Liverpool do it to a higher level, but they still did it.
Mm.
Other teams have done it successfully. Mm. Luton Town, who are our biggest worry, well, from Forest as well, obviously, but Luton, who we're fighting with, a lot of their players, they've just picked up because they had to, and yet they're all performing, and they're not great.
Yeah.
But this is a Luton Town side with 11 players injured, by the way, and there's 2 points behind us.
It's crazy.
You know, Bournemouth playing United at the weekend, and Semenyo wasn't even playing. £10 million he was. Powerful, pacey. And they're ones who were in England.
And wasn't he one of European the ones players? We went after as well, Baz? Didn't we go after?
Uwatara, we... Oh, yeah, yeah. Tremingo, we looked at and didn't touch it. Uwatara, we wanted. And to be honest, we were a yes away from that one. There'd been a loose deal with Uwatara, but he eventually went with his chairman, who owned them at Lorient, obviously owns Bournemouth as well, and he went there. But there are players out there, Abby, there are, and you just look around, they're everywhere, and they're going for buttons, some of them.
Well, but it's like, wasn't it a year, was it last summer, what's the word I'm looking for, linked with Guirassy.
Oh, Guirassy, when Frank was here, yeah, he went on strike to come. Everton had agreed a fee. He didn't say.
I don't understand why they didn't let him. Because he wanted to come.
We went for Mopai instead.
I'm not saying he would have done as well at Frankfurt. Because they're two different leagues.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean he wouldn't have done well.
No, he was put it this way.
He would have got injured.
Yeah, well, possibly. Put it this way, right? He had the attributes that we were looking for. He was 6'4", can hold the ball up. He's done really well in Germany. He'd done all right in France. He wasn't amazing in France, but he was all right. But he would have been closer to what we were looking for. And we decided that Premier League experience of Neil Mopai was better, even though he was 5'7" and can't run. You know, nice little footballer, but it's not what Everton were looking for. If you're looking for a little someone to drop into a good football team and link play at times like you did at Brighton, fine, it's not what Everton were looking for. Everton were looking for a big back-to-goal target man, and Guirassy fitted it. The kid went on strike to come, didn't train for 3 days because he was waiting for the phone call to get on the plane. And we went on, actually, we're going to go a different route. And that's just one of many, Abby. There's tons.
Because you referenced Luton and number of injuries they've got. Yeah. And, of course, well, Adebayo's their top scorer. Mm. He scored more goals this season in the Premier League in half the games than he scored in the Championship last season.
He was the one, when we were in Washington, Rooney was saying Everton should go and get him in the Championship. DC United tried to get him and they rejected him.
So people are doing it on stats. You know, looked at him, 40-odd games in the Championship, scored 7 goals. Mm. Now you wouldn't bring him into the Premier League, would you? So now 9 in 22. Shot on target, 3/4.
Look at Dominic Solanke. Now, I've never been his biggest fan.
Me neither.
Right? And he got his goal-scoring record every other year in the Premier League wasn't very good.
No.
He went in the Championship with Bournemouth last time. I think he got 27 goals or 29 goals last season. He's come back into the Premier League. This year's been fantastic. Mitrovic, Fulham. Every time he was in the Premier League, he was crap. Went into the Championship. The last time, got 47 goals. Come up into the Premier League, had a great season.
So you think Armstrong's going to score if he gets back in the Premier League with Southampton?
Who knows?
But again, that league, you can score lots of goals there, never get anywhere near scoring in the Premier League. And yet this guy's done it the way around.
He's got the physical attributes.
What's he got? Physical attributes and a little bit of pace and a lot of bloody commitment.
Steve P mentions Lamech Bender again.
Bender?
Lamech,
what are you trying to say?
Lamech Bender again. Who's quicker and cheaper, more ready version than Nonto, who we seemed obsessed with last year.
Yeah.
They reckon 15 million for him and he's doing really well. There's loads of them.
The same every time.
Exactly, and Everton just look in different ways.
But it's about decision making then, about whether you're prepared to take the chance on an unproven player, because if you're more worried about failure, i.e. they don't hit it off, then you're not going to do it, are you?
James W says Nihal is going to save our season on Saturday anyway. He's going to score. Yes, Maupai's going to get 2 at Luton. Brentford are going to win 2-0. He's going to pull his top up and say, that's for you trophies. Keep us in the Premier League.
On Monday, do you think Tarkowski was doing his best to get himself sent off?
I think he looked like he didn't want to be on the pitch at one stage. I think he'd had enough as well. He was poor on Monday. I like Tarkowski, but he was poor on Monday.
Smells nice.
He was poor.
I mean, him and Branthwaite got themselves in a bit of a muddle for the first goal, didn't they?
Yeah, listen, the pair of them had comfortably their worst games in an Everton shirt.
At the same time.
Both at the same time. Brantwaite was shocking. And Tarkowski was worse on Monday. But he was only one of everyone else. He wasn't on his own. He wasn't the reason why.
Was he lucky when he went into the back of Jackson?
Yeah, I thought so.
Was he lucky? Because it was much higher, but didn't Jimenez get sent off a very similar... Okay, he ran and he jumped at him. Fulham, I can't remember who he jumped into now, but he rightly got sent off for violent conduct. I thought he was lucky. I thought he was very lucky that VAR didn't say go and have a look at that.
I'll tell you who I thought was lucky. Onana in the first minute.
Yeah.
With his foot on Conor Gallagher. When you see it again, it was a missed time. He went for the ball, but he caught him. I thought he got away with a bit of one there because I've seen red cards for that. Just maybe it was so early. Yeah, but his foot went right. He went for the ball. He didn't try to do him. But it was just when it's that thing, when you see it in a replay, it looks bad. It looked like he was over the ball and he caught him. It was in real time. It was just that Gallagher got there and his foot caught him. But, you know, when you've seen him before, I was thinking, oh, God, are we in trouble already? And luckily, he didn't give it. But we'll be here all night if we start trying to talk about consistencies of refereeing decisions and who was lucky and who wasn't lucky and all that. But it is what it is.
What was going through his mind when he basically passed the ball to... the best player on the pitch on the night?
I think he just wanted to see if Palmer could put it in from there. To be honest, I think he was just thinking, are you good enough to knock it in? Can you do it on Baz's birthday on a Monday night at Stamford Bridge from there? And the answer was a resounding yes, Ab. It was a resounding yes.
Missed one earlier on that was on the line, you know, somehow managed to clear his own shot.
He ran ahead of the ball, didn't he? He got ahead of himself and it went behind him.
All right, then I'll let you go.
All right, Ab.
Thanks
for the call. Take it easy. All right, see you, Ab. Bye.
Speak again.
Cheers, Abby. Our Premier members, Jay says, how's it going? There are we. Horsefeather says, if we don't beat Forest, I can't see how Dyche keeps his job. Only Lampard had a worse home record. He'd only won two home games before Dyche turned up. To have only won four home games by mid to late April is disgusting. Baz in the bath, not me, says, imagine not trying a coach welcome to try and alter an absolutely abysmal home record. Yet he bleats on about marginal gains. He also says the ownership is dependent on where we are in the league a week on Sunday. Dermot says, after that embarrassment on Monday night, I have zero confidence in Dyche getting anything from the last couple of games. Get Baines in as a caretaker, he couldn't do any worse than what that donkey is in charge now. Okay. Jez says, I know I just replied to it, but it strikes me that Dyche is trying to win the XG in chances because he's defending his own position. I know it sounds mad, but right now he can blame the strikers, the EPL, the media coverage and everything bar his own brand of weapons-grade crap coaching. Rob wouldn't want Moyes back. He's done well at West Ham. He's got some decent players, but I believe he should never take a manager back because it doesn't work. The great Howard Kendall is proof of that. Wim says, not sure if this has been discussed, but is this loophole that Chelsea are using by selling equity to get around PSR just proof that the Premier League will always find ways to protect their Sly Six? At this point, I don't believe the Prem is not in cahoots with them. I mean, that was incredibly shocking. Sell a hotel and be able to lash it in your thing. Sell it to your own person.
Something like selling a player.
So can we sell Goodison Park to Moshiri for $100 million then and just say it's in RPL?
They're looking at it though, aren't they?
That's what they should do.
They're
going to look at it.
It got announced during our game. Mad, isn't it, that they announced it during when the two teams are playing.
They're going to look at it just because of the noise.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The story is that Chelsea advised they were going to do it and got approval for it. Because I remember tweeting, it's not like the Premier League to change its mind, is it? We've been there, haven't we? Yeah. I mean, the thought that Chelsea sell a, you know, a hotel or part of a hotel, whatever it was, 70-odd million quid, while the Premier League are chasing Everton to disagree that some interest on a brand spanking new stadium doesn't count.
Of 2 million quid or something.
You know, Everton just steam in there for the... and maybe they said they're looking at it just to defuse
just
it.
Just be
that.
A sheet, a bloody charge list that Everton and Forest walk in with and just go, yeah, lads, do you want to just explain all that and then have a word with us in a bit, yeah? Mm. We'll wait outside.
But if a football club owns an asset, and it wasn't equity per se, was it, I don't think? But if they own an asset and they've sold it, of course it's income for the football
club. See, that to me, it shouldn't
be like
that.
It's a related party transaction, right? So they'll just be validating, Ped, I suspect, whether it was a fair value, that's all.
I think someone's gone in, just ticked a box and gone, sound, lads, without anyone acting. This is the fear of the whole thing, isn't it? Mm. Is that if that stuff is genuinely getting passed, somebody...
So what's this interest all about?
You know, and then what are they doing? Are they looking at back on that, sound, that Chelsea ticked that box, and then to us it's scrutiny.
You're right.
And I don't mind scrutiny, by the way. I want a club that is run the proper way in the looser sense, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But, like, it's so farcical. Yeah, we own a hotel. Who'd you sell it to?
Me mate. Actually, me brother.
Blue Lion
Hotels.
Holding company for Chelsea FC Limited. You know, it's just daft. It's so
daft.
Did you
see the company name, though? It's like an SPV. You know, it's like a special purpose. Like a company you've set up just to be in receipt of buying the hotel.
Is it like the Kaminsky? Is it like the Kaminsky,
you know,
website when
Chelsea
you were buying
Code 23 or whatever it was?
Yeah. I was actually watching the game. And I don't even think they were talking about it. They might have even been talking about something to do with us at the moment, at that time.
Right.
And up on the boards, and you wouldn't have probably noticed this, up on the boards pops up this, like, website called, like, 34894wapwapwapwap.com. You know, like a proper white label white website that they've all been getting done for recently, and I'm thinking... We're talking about this kind of stuff, and up on their boards is an advertising for a company that probably does not exist and probably isn't real. And Chelsea have got a sponsor, by the way, that isn't real. And they've got a sleeve sponsor, that isn't real. Like, it's not, none of it's real. They're all companies that have been set up by their mates.
It's just,
this is the problem.
And we're being done for.
Yeah.
You know, you should go down to basically what you bring in and what you sell, players wise. That's all it should be for this. The other stuff. They can relate to keeping the business going. But the actual league rules should literally be what you bring in and what you sell, player-wise. It should only ever be on the players.
Though, people can scrutinise us and go, MSP, there's nothing there. They were this and they were that and the other. Mm. But, okay. USM.
Yeah.
Sorry, but USM not only sponsored the training ground. Okay, fine. Mm. I don't know what the value of a training ground is. They had two massive advertising things on the side of the park end, which were huge, which every time someone showed the ground, certainly at night, drone footage, you see it, and you see it, but some people still use it as the footage, and that's when you know if that's new footage or old.
They literally own the women's team.
The guy who run the place was his nephew.
That's right.
It was the main sponsor. It was the sleeve sponsor.
It was visible.
And all over that ground was... It might as well have been called the Megaphone Stadium.
That's what it was. Everything except,
That's what it was.
So it's not just a case of the training guy. It was on our sleeve as well. Don't forget, it was on our sleeve sponsor.
It was on the training kit, wasn't it?
So it was all over the training kit. All this stuff. And yet... Chelsea are just getting away with it, and people go, they're different things. It's gone, but they're not, though, are they? They're just exactly the same thing. Some people are better than covering their tracks than others.
Dick L says, like, the last couple I'm going, says, I didn't watch the Chelsea game because I refused to watch Everton again while Deitch is in charge. So thankfully, I missed the 6-0 drubbing. But a couple of RS fans at work watched it, and they've been telling me that Dele Alli was in the studio. It's just Dele. And he apparently revealed he set his alarm clock to 11 o'clock every day with the message World Cup 26. The RS fans think it's so funny because who sets their alarm to 11 o'clock? They have a point, to be honest. If Dele seriously wants to get the World Cup 2026, his alarm should be getting set to 6 a.m. 11 o'clock.
Why would you set your alarm? Like, don't get me wrong. If I wanted to go to the World Cup in 2 years, I'd be setting my alarm clock to 11 o'clock. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He sets it for 12.
That's peak time for me.
John would be setting it to 5 a.m. in the gym.
Dick, they've got the whole thing wrong. He said he set a countdown on his clock to the World Cup.
That's different, yeah.
And he said that he looks at it and that's his reminder of what he's got, where he's got to get to. Now, I know it's a load of nonsense, but if you're going to make a joke, to laugh at someone, get the details right.
Okay. Like Gray Lee says, got me 83-84 yellow third chair kit off Rich Wilkinson today. It's quality. Also says, Dyche can do himself a massive favour on Sunday. Play 5-3-2. Drop Young. Have two strikers on a pitch. There's a reason why we don't score any goals. Marking one striker is much easier than marking two, and a midfield gets bypassed with the ball. Correct. Right. That is us. We are done. Thank you, everybody. Like, subscribe, do all that. We'll see you later. Bye.
Take care. Bye.